This episode of Off Course is brought to you by Titleist. Their long-standing slogan of being the number one ball in golf is backed by years of innovation, high-end performance, consistency, and quality. From their tour-trusted Pro V1 lineup to the TrueFuel, golfers can find a ball that performs well for their game at their price point. Visit www.titleist.com to learn more.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards. You can find me on Twitter at Canadan Golf. With me today from MotoCaddy is Roger Teat, who is the USA president. Now, welcome, Roger. I am thrilled to have you.
Awesome, Dan. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, so you guys can be found at MotoCaddy Golf on Twitter and Instagram. You're probably a part behind those scenes. It sounds like you're more of a LinkedIn guy than a social media guy yourself. How's the activity over there on social for you guys? Are you getting a lot of feedback right now on the brand, especially as you move into the US market?
Yeah, it's feedback's been phenomenal. So the social networks are still run by our UK marketing team. They do a great job. Ton of experience in the brand. 17 years, we've been going strong in the UK side. So we're only about 10 months in the US front. And the marketing team has really driven that growth in the US and throughout the UK. Our team's been there for 8 to 10 years on the marketing front. And they do a great job.
Now, one thing you did tell me as before we kick this off is if you want the USA side of things, you definitely go to motocaddy.us. And if you want the, you can buy a trolley side of things, you go to the motocaddy.com. I've got to know, before we even get to know you a little bit, Roger, I have to know, is there any sort of contention between you, your side of the pond and their side of the pond and what we're supposed to be calling these things we push around a golf course?
You know, it's funny. That was probably the biggest conversation that we had when I came on, to your point, is what do we call these things in the U.S.? So globally, they're definitely known as trolleys, electric trolleys, that being a very European term, if you will. So part of my push on making sure that we have some authenticity in the market here in the U.S. front is maybe a little bit of a rebranding on the product. So thinking through it and what is this product? What does it actually do? We settled on the term caddy, electric caddy. You know, it's in our DNA. It's obviously in our name, MotoCaddy. So same product, but I think caddy in the US, like I said, describes kind of what the product is. It really is as close to having a caddy as you can have. So the good news is the UK team understands that there is some difference in the US golfer. Not only features and benefits, what they like, but you know, terminology is a big thing. If we don't know the term trolley in the US, it's going to be hard to find our product.
Now, I would predict that you were a lot more polite about that than they were when you guys are talking. I know, because I'm from Canada, and I will tell you, I'm not typically polite when people point out my differences. In fact, I was on a golf course this weekend with a guy who tried to tell me that Canada doesn't have forks. Yes, that's the prong thing that you eat with. And I let him know that he needs to stop reading and believing everything on Wikipedia because there are people out there looking to poke fun and poke holes into my country of origin. But, you know, it's always fun to get that little battle. And I'm assuming with what's coming up here in September, you guys are going to be maybe losing some emails or phone numbers for about 4 or 5 days there for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, hopefully make a little stronger appearance this year than in the previous few, or it's going to be a tough, definitely, I would say more than a few weeks there. We'll get some ribbing. But that terminology is just a good example of, you know, our management team, executive team in the UK being smart enough to realize, you know, what works over there. A lot of it, what does work over there will work over here, especially with a product as good as we have. But there's definitely some slight or some key differences that we need to address. And that's one of them for sure.
That's great. Well, tell me a little bit about your background. I know you were involved over at Cobra for quite a while. Can you share with our listeners where you came from and what drove you to MotoCaddy in the end so far?
Sure. Yeah. So I was with Cobra Puma Golf for 12 plus years. I left as director of sales operations there. Phenomenal experience. Just a great team. Really, really good product. Can't have better things to say about my time at CPG there. Came over to Moto Caddy, the team, last September. So I think we're about 9 months in today, which is just crazy how weird time has been during a pandemic. And not only that, but as crazy as golf has been, time's just been flying by. And, you know, met with the Moto Caddy team about a year and a half ago, really just more than anything, super excited about the product. And it was something so different that we didn't have in the US. You know, a few times in your career can you stay in the industry that you love. You know, obviously I've been a lifelong golfer, played high school, played college golf. It's definitely a passion. And to be able to bring a, not even just a new product, but really a new category to the market, it just doesn't happen often. Especially with the growth of walking, you know, during COVID, it was kind of the only way to play. So really just bringing an easier way to walk, if you will, to such a strong market. Product first and foremost is just fantastic. I had to be a part of it.
It's definitely the more purest way to experience the game. And now maybe not over the last couple of days here in Ohio, when, you know, walking was more like wandering through a sauna wrapped in an oven, wrapped in, you know, something else that was wet and hot, which I described pretty well on Twitter not too long ago. But I do want to circle back. I actually have something pulled up and a quote from you as you were coming on board with Moto Caddy. You said, "I'm thrilled to be taking on this challenge at a time when golfers across North America are beginning to really appreciate the benefits of using an electric walking cart." I really resonates with me because I'm currently having a bit of a battle with my golf course, helping them understand the benefits of walking and how we should embrace it, as opposed to, you know, get super focused on the things that shouldn't be there, like, you know, 100% hyping up, you know, ride, pay, you know, all that stuff. Obviously, from my end, I'm not trying to make money doing it, so I want to do it in the way that I'd like to. Are you seeing, even in the last year or so, are you seeing that trend change, especially with the pandemic supporting that change, where people are way less inclined to just go out and rip around on a golf cart and are finding ways? I know there are different versions of getting out and walking, or, you know, some of these crazy boards that they use to put their bag on. This is more of a pure experience. You strap the bag up, you get it going for you, motorizes around for you, you got some great information built into the unit. Can you share some of that trend with me and what I can hope for in the next year or two as golf changes?
Yeah, you're 100% spot on. You know, I continue to say, and always will, I think the best golfing experience is having a caddy. You know, I always think of my trips to Bandon Dunes, which is honestly my favorite place on earth. The caddy experience really makes that. Unfortunately for most golfers, how often do you actually get to use a caddy, you know, unless you're on TV? So this is the closest caddy experience that you can have. It's literally something carrying your clubs. And in the case of our M5 GPS that has a GPS screen built into the handle, will give you yardages, front, middle, back, hazards, keep your score, etc. Walking is certainly blowing up in the US. You know, we're a bit behind where the Europeans are, the UK guys are, where it's, you know, 90%+ walking over there. That's how they play golf. I think the US consumer is realizing, like in the quote, the benefits of walking, not even for just a health benefit on getting exercise and activity, but socially, you know, walking up the fairway, walking to the green with three of your buddies. It's just such a better experience than hopping in a cart and I'll see you at the green. I know, you know, pace of play has come up quite a few times with head pros, and that's where they might be a little bit against the walking side. But honestly, stats show with a double rider cart, walking actually is faster with four people walking versus, you know, twosomes in carts. Single riding obviously being a little different when you can drive to your ball. But pace of play has been, like I said, improving with walking. The health benefits are pretty obvious. You know, walking around a course for 5.5, 6, 7 miles plus. I think the main difference in the electric side versus even the push cart, not only, you know, pushing a 15-pound plus bag and cart, I guess, with your clubs closer to 20 up a hill, but just not being hunched over, you know, standing upright, walking normally. It's so much better on your back. Scores, you know, obviously that they would improve that way. You're less fatigued, you know, towards the end of the round. You really feel that, you know, the last 3-4 holes coming down the stretch with electric versus push. I think it really just brings in a lot a lot more consumers to walk that might want to, but might not be able to, especially in your circumstance where, like you said, it's 90 plus with humidity. Yep. I couldn't imagine pushing a cart or carrying a bag.
I hit pretty aggressively in my riding cart that day. Yeah, 100%.
For sure. So yeah, you know, I think it is, it's certainly a trend in the US that I don't see slowing down. And the feedback that we've had just on the product with those that have been using it, the notes that we've got on, you know, I couldn't walk before. Now I'm playing and walking 3-4 days a week. You know, turning up the speed where they might be walking, you know, we have 9 speed settings on our Moto Caddy units. They were walking on a 3-4 speed before. Now they're up to 5-6. So you could just tell the, you know, getting in better shape and more than anything, just enjoying golf more. That's really what we're here to do, is just help golfers enjoy the game. And we just think that the walking allows you to do that. It's just a better experience.
So I think the idea, as you mentioned, is fairly fresh for us here. There's lots of golfers out there who have pushed in the past. You know, having this sort of caddy experience where it's doing all that for you, it's a little bit foreign for us who are more inclined to push or only know push. Is there a way to express it, either from your own experience or from the feedback you're getting? What is the significant change between pushing a golf cart, more traditional style, and moving into one of your models?
Yeah, it's kind of twofold. I think it goes back to what we just talked about. Not only the physical toll of pushing a cart and a bag, especially on hillier terrain, but if you think about the way that you walk while pushing a push cart, you know, you're just in general, you're hunched over a bit. You know, arms extended, it takes a little more out of you than you might realize until you play a round of golf not doing that. So just being able to, like I mentioned, you know, walk more upright, walk more normally, you know, better ergonomic position. If you've our flagship model being the M7 remote, having a kind of hands-free experience driving your cart up the fairway, or as you're walking to the green, driving it to the next tee box. It's just a more freeing experience on the golf course. I'll kind of put it that way, but certainly less taxing. You know, pushing a cart is certainly a lot easier than carrying a golf bag. I think if we rank the ways to walk, pull carts, I would say, would be kind of the worst way to go about it. Carrying being second, push carts being third, and then the electric side, if you don't have a caddy carrying your bag for you, it is really just the best way to walk a golf course.
So, speaking to the people who've never seen the product, have no idea how it works, are they thinking like back in the days of this giant remote control in your hand with a big giant antenna sticking out of it? How do they experience that? What do they have to do to get their cart to move down the fairway?
Yeah, sure. So we are certainly gaining more distribution here in the US. So we will have our carts in more and more golf courses. I want to say that we're in about 80 courses or so far throughout the US. So plenty of room to experience the product. I think the biggest difference in the product now versus what it was before is really just the advancement in technology. So one kind of challenge I would say that we're trying to overcome in the US is the electric that people have used in the past with maybe not as well built product, not as sturdy, lead acid batteries versus lithium like we have now. The cart would only go maybe 18 holes. I always joke, when you see those older products, you can kind of hear them 3 fairways down. So it sounds like someone's driving a lawnmower up the fairway. The product honestly is just so much better. It's super quiet, almost the Tesla experience where you could barely hear the motor running. Remote being about the size of a small garage door opener. So, you know, I think you make a good point there. You think of the old Zach Morris, phone, right? compared to an Apple. And that's honestly, that's funny. That's probably the best comparison in the old electric versus current, what we bring. If you think of that old Saved by the Bell phone versus a new Apple, and that's honest new iPhone, that's probably the best comparison on how far advanced electric is versus what it was really even just a few years ago here in the US.
Yeah. I think that's the problem with golfers in general, is they get so stuck on what was that they're become afraid of what could be or what is, if you know what I mean. So, you know, the idea of going and experiencing it, or at least at the very least watching videos or getting involved in some of the product testing, which is going on right now on THP, where guys who have never experienced the product before have it in hand and are using it and sharing their feedback. I think those are all great ways to better understand it. And you did mention, I believe there are three models, the M1, M5, and M7, with a bit of a variety in price. You said your flagship is the M7. Is that where your big seller is right now, or is there a pretty good distribution there?
You know, distribution is really good. I would definitely say the M7 remote is the flagship and the best seller in the US. That remote, for those that are comfortable with it, is really just such a game changer whenever you don't have to have your hands actually on the cart. As I mentioned, that, you know, the kind of best experience is if you can walk to the green and drive your cart so it's waiting for you on the next tee box. It's kind of the ultimate caddy experience. Those that aren't maybe comfortable with a remote in their hand, they want full control of their cart at all times, that M5 GPS would be kind of your next best option. So again, no remote in there, but it's got a 3.5-inch color LCD touchscreen built into the handle with GPS, giving you front, middle, back, hazards. You can keep track of your score, distance measuring. There's 40,000 preloaded courses built in. There's no subscription needed. All of our carts do have a USB charging port built in, so you can keep your phone or speakers, whatever, may be charged on the course, which is a really cool feature. And then kind of our entry level, if you will, would be the M1. So if you think the M5 without the GPS, no remote, still electric, still carries your, like I said, does all the work for you and carrying your bag down the fairway. You have full control, setting the speed on the handle, turn the dial, hit the button to start, hit the button to stop. It's as easy as that. That would be kind of your entry level, if you will, into the electric world.
Okay. And do they all share a similar amount of battery life? Is there an expectation people can have there?
Sure. Yeah, we're only offering our premium battery here in the US. There are a lot of options that they offer in the UK. It's a 28-volt lithium extended life battery, at least 36 holes out of one charge. In pretty much every golf course, the course that I play in is pretty flat, so I can get a good, you know, 54. We definitely recommend charging after every round just to maintain the longevity of the battery, but no issue at all getting a couple rounds before you need a recharge and worry about it dying on the course.
Okay. Well, I want to know a little bit about your history in golf, not just being a part of the industry, but what kind of golfer are you, Roger?
Sure. So I'm maintain a scratch handicap now. I grew up in Southern California. It's funny how the world works and how I ended up in the golf industry and back in Southern California. So I didn't start playing golf until I was about 13, grew up playing baseball. That was my sport. My stepdad got me into golf, like I said, about 13, freshman year in high school, wanted to try out for a team and had zero chance. I probably missed the tryout cut by 12 shots, just no chance. Sophomore year, funny enough, my stepdad gets transferred in his job to Arkansas. So he started working in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. My folks are still out there. So we moved there. The good thing about that move is high school golf. I think there was 6 guys that even wanted to play golf versus the, I think, 40 that tried out for my freshman team in okay. Southern California. So obviously it's, you know, you want in and you're in. They needed players. And it's, you know, funny how playing golf every day actually helps your golf game. So got better pretty quick, ended up playing golf at Arkansas Tech Division II school in Russellville, Arkansas. I was a tech rep for Cobra for 4 years through college and knew that's where I wanted to be. Got to meet the team at a few Titleist back in the day, Titleist Cobra sales meetings. Met a great group of guys that drove the tech van. That's what they did around the country, and told them that I wanted in and knew I wasn't going to get a job out of Arkansas to work in the golf industry. So they had a room open. I packed up a U-Haul and drove back down to Carlsbad right after school and got in as a temp. And I think 8 jobs later, you know, rest is kind of history. So that's that one move to Arkansas kept me playing golf, got me back into golf. And, you know, into the golf industry side of it, really, really good run. The the sale to Puma was exciting. So that was in 2010. I got to be a part of that. I actually met my wife at Cobra. She was our marketing manager for 8 years. Good player herself, played college golf, and she's out of the industry now, but plays all the time. Actually played in a SCGA qualifier yesterday, didn't make it, but had her on the bag for the first time. And she said that she would caddy for me if she didn't have to carry my bag. So threw it on the moto caddy and she drove it up the fairways, and pretty special experience there.
So you're a SoCal guy through and through.
Through and through. Yeah. She's, you know, I had my stint in Arkansas, loved it. We just talked about the heat and humidity. I definitely don't miss that. I'll take the complaining about it being hot when it hits 80 in Carlsbad. She's a Wyoming girl, but we're both rooted pretty heavy, family, kids here, and couldn't think of a better spot to be.
So SoCal, we're having a pretty big week out in SoCal this week for the US Open. It's got to feel like a pretty big deal, right?
Oh, it's huge. Just the buzz around it is fantastic, especially in, you know, California restrictions are starting to lift. Really, today was a big day for that. So I think people feel a little more comfortable at this point getting outdoors. And obviously, what a better sport to go watch when you feel like you can, you know, do things than go into the U.S. Open here at Torrey. So super excited about that. I've taken my kid out for some practice round viewing tomorrow, which is great. And might go check it out on Friday. But I know the city's buzzing, and I think golf industry in general, it's so prime right now. I can't imagine us not having a pretty exciting Sunday. I think there's going to be some drama down the stretch.
So we shared earlier before the show that I picked Phil to win because I think it's one of the most entertaining stories that could ever happen to golf. having a guy who probably should have never won the PGA magically show up and you know, double down on majors in the same year. And for his, what I like to call his social media victory tour, I mean, what better way to continue that ride than to, you know, go home to Torrey and just light it up? Is he your guy this week, or do you have someone else you're rooting for?
You know, he's definitely the emotional favorite. Again, being a Southern California guy, for Phil to finally get his open here at home, I don't know of anything that could be better for golf in general. He's a guy that's hard to root against. Okay. You know, kind of same breath to Rom being one of the betting favorites. How cool would that be for him to quickly get over the unfortunate situation a couple weeks ago? Massive lead and can't play the final round. Wouldn't put that past him. But I think still have a soft spot in my heart for Bryson. I just spent too many years at Cobra and too good of friends with that team there to I just know how special of a win that would be if he gets another one, especially here at home. I want to be part of that party if and when it happens. So,
yeah. So he'd be an interesting story going back to back, because a lot of people would argue that the US Open is designed against guys like Bryson, who are fearless in distance and then, you know, less focused up until they get to the green. So, yeah, I mean, I would love that story as well. And I think based on what's going on between him and Brooks, it would be the ultimate underdog story for him to, I call it trolled, but get heckled all week, which is, I'm assuming, what's going to happen if you look at the comments that are being made on his social media channels right now, calling him Brooksy every second. You know, that I think both of those stories would be hilarious and super fun to follow for the game. Probably the two best ones outside of Tiger magically showing up in perfect health on day one and playing. So, it was kind of a bummer that guys like Ricky weren't able to make it in. You hate to see a guy like that not get there, but, I think it'll be motivation for him too, moving forward and, you know, try and right the ship there. Is there any guy you don't want to win? Can you even say that?
Ooh.
Any European, right? For the guys listening.
Yeah, you know, it's gotta root for the European guys, just because if it puts the exec team in a better mood, it sure makes it easier on me.
But, okay.
There's probably a couple, but probably not any that I want to mention on air here.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll bleep them out. Go ahead.
one probable Ryder Cup American in general who shall not be named.
Okay.
Not the biggest fan going back, you know, from the college days, but that's
okay.
neither here nor there.
Fair enough. I've heard the ref's difficult out there. They're definitely going to have to poke and prod to find it.
Well, so. if it's anything like, so I think the hardest that I've played it, we had the last tee time on that Sunday before they shut it down for the 08 Open. And it was about a 6.5 hour round, because if you missed that 20-yard fairway by a foot, you couldn't find your ball. And
really,
I got to imagine it's going to be something similar to that this year. And that's, you know, that's the interesting strategy, if you will, with Bryson and why he thinks he'll do well in opens. It was the same one that he just won. You know, he knows the rough's going to be thick. He knows he's not going to hit every fairway. But if you have a wedge into some of those greens out of that rough, you can't get a 6 iron out of it. So if you can get it down there 350 and wedge something to the front and let it run up, even if you're not hitting the fairways, you know, that's what he did. Obviously, he putted lights out the last one to win as well, but hit a lot of greens by missing a lot of fairways. And that being a guy that strong, I can only imagine what a benefit that is.
Right.
Because I did not have wedge into those greens in 08, and I could not get 7 irons out. it was a long day.
Yeah, I saw a video back in the 50s of the U.S. Open, and it was showcasing just how it looked more like trampled hay, basically, is what their rough was back then. It's almost like, you know, they went from not spoiled to spoiled back to not spoiled again and trying to find that perfect mix. I always said the perfect challenge would be to let them play it the way it is, but don't let anyone help them look there for their balls. If they want the U.S. Open to be over par wins, I think that's how you get them there.
Yeah, I definitely would agree to that, other than I know pace of play being such an issue. They wouldn't get it in. I'm telling you, it's long to the goss. And I think we only played in 6 hours because people finally gave up looking for it. If you were hiking back and forth with the tee, I mean, that out there, that could be a 7 hour round. I'll tell you that the biggest thing to watch for this week, I know that they're allowing more attendance than they have been in the past, you know, maybe month or so they opened it up. But the difference in the viewership on course from now and back what it was in 08, there's certainly going to be a lot less trampled rough. There's going to be a lot more lost balls. That rough gets so thick that if you don't have the full patrons out there, it could be some mayhem trying to find it in some of those hairy spots.
Better them than us, right?
Yes, 100%.
Hey, I noticed you got a little bit of golf memorabilia behind you. It looks like some ball markers. Do you have one in particular? We're going to ignore the Masters flag because that's always the upper echelon. Sure. Is there one in particular there that really speaks to you?
Man, I'll tell you, I've been to Bandon 4 times, and that is honestly my favorite place on earth. I think the one that, I don't know why I was surprised, but maybe the next surprise favorite. I took a trip out to Erin Hills. That was before they had the Open. I think a lot of people were introduced to it, you know, during the U.S. Open. We went out a year before. And that is just, it was my first trip to Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is some of my favorite golf in the world. It's pretty spectacular. So that's one that I'll definitely always remember.
So you got Bandon and Wisconsin on the list, which must mean you absolutely love playing in the wind. So we obviously will never get along.
Yeah, it's strange that I like that property because I'm one of the worst. That's what hurt me in college, playing in Texas and Oklahoma. Okay. Yeah. Out of Arkansas. Not a very good wind player, but there's something. Maybe the beer just tastes better at the end after getting beat up for 5 hours.
So when you went to do Erin Hills, did you do Kohler as well? Did you get through all that?
We did a couple of the straights courses. Okay. So we did do Kohler State at the American Club, which is just unbelievable for those that haven't had a chance to stay there. What a special place. We played another course called the Bull Nicklaus course, brutal. That might've been the hardest track that I played out there. And then we got a few rounds in at Erin. And for those that do go out there, I don't know if I should recommend it or not, depending on how much of a glutton for punishment you are, but there's a set of tees out there that aren't on the scorecard. I think the longest set of tees are the blacks at about 7,800 yards. There's a set of brown tees. If you ask the caddies out there, it had to have been, I don't know, 8,300 plus yards. Wind was blowing 20, 25 that day. And it was in July, so it was hot. It's definitely a glutton for punishment experience, but it's something you got to do. I think if you go to somewhere like Erin, you know, you got to play that ballpark from 1 foot in the rough, if you will.
That sounds horrifying. I have a pretty good idea why they're the brown tees.
Exactly. Well, the best was our caddy out there. you know, bigger guy, double bagging it, and we had walked for 5 days straight. He would pretty much take us to the blues and then point around trees where the brown tees were and start walking down the fairway and okay. hand us a driver, and I'll see you up there. But it was an experience for sure. Okay. Still feeling it.
Yeah, I believe that. That sounds absolutely awesome, but also completely horrifying. So if you had to pick one or the other, going to Straits and Aaron versus Bandon, which one's is going to be Oof. Next week?
Oof.
And are those the top two for you? Within reason.
They're the top two that I've been to. I'm okay. sure that there's, you know, I'll probably get ripped quite a bit for, I can't believe you didn't mention this or that. You know, yeah, I've never played Pine Valley. I've never played Augusta. So just on the spots that I've been to, I don't know if I can, God, it's a 1A and 1B question. Cause I think those are my two favorite spots, but I can't imagine ever turning down a trip to Bandon. I think that's just such a special place. And, you know, I haven't been across the pond to the UK boys. I plan to as soon as not only we can travel, but they squash the 2 week quarantine when you go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Super excited to probably more excited to go over there and play some golf after, again, my few trips to the Pacific Northwest. It's just it's a special piece of property.
Well, you're about the fourth person on the show to say that Bandon's a must do, and I'm starting to regret never going. So I hope you don't think less of me, but I've not been yet. It sounds like if I don't put that on my bucket list, I'm really missing out. So
yeah, special place. And that's kind of where I mentioned it. I've never been to a place where you got a better caddy experience. I don't know what their number is. They've got to have 500-600 caddies in their rotation. And it was honestly the best golf caddy experience I've ever had. And if I go to Bandon, I'm taking a caddy. Hopefully we have some moto caddies on site here within the next, you know, year or so. That would be pretty cool to see those on property.
Yeah.
But that caddy experience is just, it's one of a kind. They're spectacular.
So I have to know, and I've been dying to ask you this all episode. Is there a guy in golf right now in the industry that you would consider your rival? You're a good player Oof. And a lot of good players in golf. Now, I did my searching prior to the show, and I saw a little bit of friendly banter with a guy who absolutely 100% would probably give it back. Jose from Cobra, a.k.a. the Little Rat, going toe-to-toe in the hole-in-ones. Who is your guy? Who is your rival in golf?
You know, I love where you're going with that. I would say Hose, but I think that they've got to beat you to actually be a rival, right? Oh. I can say that, Hose, I love you. He's my he's actually my member guest partner, so I have no problem giving him some crap here.
He is or he was.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe if you air this afterwards, we'll be safe. You know, I don't. There's a whole lot of golfers in the industry that are just much, much better than I am. It's I learned that every year playing in Golf Week puts on an industry cup for us in the fall. So it's where we get to go toe-to-toe with the Callaways, TaylorMade's, Titleist, Fujikuras, etc. So I would say there's a lot of really, really good players that I look up to. They certainly have my number, so I'll put myself in that same term. I think I got to win a couple to be a rival of theirs. But
okay,
you know, company wise, I would say we certainly had some rivals, some friendly competition, if you will, in the golf industry side, the OEM front. Obviously, Cobra being a bit of an underdog with such strong, I would say, better product to a lot of stuff that's out in the market. So I would say, you know, there were certainly some rivals from a professional standpoint, a few less here on the cart side. So there's some guys that we'll go after, but I wouldn't say, you know, we're a bit too early to the game for professional rivalry here.
Okay.
But a lot of really good players, especially here in Carlsbad. It's, you know, home of US golf, kind of golf Mecca, if you will. There's just so much talent. It's amazing that some of them actually work. You would think that they would be on TV. All they would do is play golf all the time. But
I've heard of the Industry Cup. I've heard a couple things about that. Number one, there's a lot of guys out there who are a lot longer than you think should be off the tee. And there's also a lot of really talented play. I do have to know about the what's in the bag right now, because you talk a big game about Cobra and you mentioned their superior product, which I think that's a fair assessment. They're making great gear right now. Do we have Rev 33 in the bag?
We don't. So there was a kind of back and forth. So I still have Mim wedges. I think I need to, I think I need to give Hose some crap to update my wedge game a little bit.
Snake bite action coming in.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yep. Heard a lot of good things, but I've no time to play golf anymore. You know, starting a company here in the U.S. That's all we're doing is working. If you believe that, then my wife will tell you different. But still, some old wedges. You know, I've got the King Tour Copper in the bag, which are absolutely phenomenal.
Yep.
The rad driver this year is great. Messing around with a few competitive things here and there that we don't need to name, just because I haven't been able to hit them in 12 plus years. So realizing that, hey, there might be some other decent product out in the field.
Okay.
But still Cobra diehard at heart, and the product that they've got is so good this year.
Maybe there may be some competitive product. There's just maybe not. No truth to the rumor.
There might be. Yeah. Yes. Unconfirmed. but we've been having some fun experimenting for sure.
I want to circle back a little bit on Moto Caddy, because I know we talked specifically about your M series, but it looks like when you go to the site, there's a lot more to Moto Caddy than just that. You've got range finders on there, you've got bags, there's a pretty solid looking app. What is obviously the big story here is the M1, M5, N7, but is there an identity you guys are starting to build there beyond that? Are you doing a lot more? Do you intend to do a lot more in the future?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. As mentioned, we really just want more people walking and enjoying the game and knowing that electric might not be for everybody for various reasons. You know, they're either not willing to buy into the new technology, which is fair because it is new to the US market. Price point absolutely can be a barrier for a lot of consumers out there. It's an investment in your game. We've got a good range of regular push carts for those that are more, I guess, US traditional. They don't want to carry, but still want to walk. So our Cube and our Z1 push carts are two very, very solid options. And then the golf bag range that you mentioned, really, really good range of bags. I think that's probably one of the better things about being a UK European company as well, is the product that they have to design from a stability, a reliability, waterproofing that they have to provide. You know, they do all their business in the UK, Ireland, Scotland. I think they have more wet days than dry days, so the product has to hold up to, you know, to all of the not only terrain but all the different seasons, all the weather. Even though we don't really have seasons here in Carlsbad, I hear you guys do throughout the rest of the country. So
okay, here it goes again. Yeah. Well, when you have HydroFlex in the name, you have a pretty good idea what you can expect, and you know, durability and resiliency is obviously, especially for, you know, I'm looking at your HydroFlex stand bag. If you're out there walking, you want that thing to deal with anything that comes at it, and you know, if it can't handle a little bit of wet stuff, then you know, obviously it's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. And our bag line is a little different. It's a little special in that it's specifically really made for walking carts. So the way that the pockets line up, the way that there's some tilt to the top of the bag, just really where everything's placed is made specifically for kind of that tilted angle, if you will, really just for accessibility on everything that you might need. I think that's been an issue a bit with the regular cart bags that might be made for, I'm going to throw a UK term out here, buggies, if you want. I'm slowly picking it up through my 10 months here. Through riding carts is once you throw them on either a push cart or an electric cart, some of the bags are behind the bag, or some of the pockets, I should say, are maybe behind the bag. Some of the clubs are a little harder to get to. They rattle around a lot more than they would in these. We do have a proprietary locking system if you use our bag and our cart, called Easy Lock. So long story short, what that is there's two metal pins that screw into the base of our golf bags. They're inset, so they're shorter than the base of the bag, so they don't hit the ground. Obviously when it's standing up, you don't need to remove them, I should say, if they're not in a cart. And two holes in the base of our cart, so slides right into the holes, you know, anti-twist, it locks in, you don't need the bottom strap. It's really just a more secure way to lock the bag into our cart. If you have your own bag, we do have the bottom strap, no issue there. Our carts can fit any bag, but it's a pretty cool system if you go full Moto Caddy, if you will. just kind of the best way to send your bag up a fairway. Hopefully right. A fairway.
Yeah, right. Not the rough. definitely not the US Open rough. Well, it's been really fun getting a closer look at your brand today. And one thing I love to do at the end of our show is offer the guest any sort of questions they want to kick back my way. That's totally up to you. If there's anything you want to fire away with, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, it's great what you guys are doing right now on the reviews and the forums. So four reviewers right now, testers on the M7 remote and the golf bags. If the viewers have not checked it out, definitely go to the forum review section. It's been phenomenal, the feedback that we've gotten out of them. I got on a quick Zoom call before they started, and they couldn't be more excited. And I don't think we could have asked for better, honest feedback. I guess you really just from your side, what are you guys hearing on both the walking front and really the move to electric? Is there consumer feedback that you're getting early on with the reviews that we may not have seen yet?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a question for Josh more than it is for me, but I can speak locally to that. There's a constant interest that we're not doing enough to maximize the benefits of golf. And that includes a combination of walking when appropriate. And I have a dad who's, he's not, you know, young, but he's also not so old that he can't walk. He'd love to walk, but the idea of hauling a bag around is not a thrill for him. So, you know, we definitely hear that conversation, just speaking from my personal course, that we're not doing enough to open the door for that. And it's great to see companies like you go out there and try and sort of redefine what it means to push a cart, or I suppose in this case, not push a cart around the golf course. And I'm turning 36 this year. So I still carry, but I'm getting to that age where it's like, let's just get a cart. I don't feel like, hauling this thing around. Like you said, not exactly the best for your back to be, to be hanging out on there, just hauling whatever is in the bag, depending on how many balls you carry, a little bit extra water. For sure, all this heat. Sure. But yeah, I mean, that's the best I can say. And in terms of the rest, it's been fun, as you mentioned, getting involved in that thread and seeing what people think and, you know, changing opinions one review post at a time, which is cool.
Right. Yeah. I think what I would just say to consumers that haven't tried this is, you know, common phrase, you don't know what you don't know. It's really just getting it out on the course, trying it. We do have some demo product out in the field in a handful of pretty prestigious golf courses. It's pretty exciting once you get this product into a consumer's hand for the first time on, holy crap, there really is a better way to go. And, you know, funny enough, Dan, I'll tell you, maybe I just feel older, but we're the same age. And I couldn't imagine carrying a bag again after doing this for the last 9 or 10 months. So,
right.
yeah. You know, the biggest key is we are, as I mentioned to you, fully in stock. We're shipping pretty much same day. Website again, motocaddy.us. And if anybody needs to get a hold of us, there's some contact info on the bottom of that front page. We'd love to hear from you.
.us, not .com. Unless you want to buy a trolley, then it's definitely .com. But I think the shipping costs will be a bit more. So you have to pay in euro. Well, yeah, Roger,
if you go to motocaddy.com, make sure you click that little American flag up at the top and it'll direct to us as well. So
that's great. Roger, thanks so much for the time today. And I hope you enjoy US Open week. Obviously, we're both rooting for Phil. So let's go.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you as well. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. And anyone else out there golfing this week, instead of watching the US Open, have fun. If you're watching the US Open, have fun as well. Tell me what you thought of it once we get done the weekend of play. And we'll be back next week. Thanks.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.